God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The supreme masterpiece of all creation. Humans. The untarnished breath of the eternal in perfect balance with the motley dust of the earth. Living, breathing, brilliant icons of the unseen God. Designed to share his glory with all creation. Explore with us what it means to be fully human.
Well, hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name's Lena Schuler, and I'm the Crossroads Anywhere Community Pastor. And today is a celebratory, exciting weekend for our church because we're doing baptisms. And baptism is a way for us to publicly declare our faith in Jesus. And so throughout this service, we're going to hear about baptisms. You're even going to see some people in a few of our communities who are getting baptized. And if you're in a place where you're going, I want to publicly declare my faith in Jesus through baptism, and God stirs something in you at any point during this service, we'd love to talk with you and help you get baptized anywhere you might be in the country. So you can go to crossroads.net. You can click on the chat button if you feel like God is saying to you that that is the right next step for you. Well, this isn't the only celebratory weekend. Next weekend is another big celebration because it's Easter weekend. So next weekend, we're going to be streaming every 90 minutes beginning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and so forth. And we'll also be on demand mid-morning on Easter morning. And this is a great weekend for you to invite your friends who might not be part of a local church to experience the celebration and the joy of Easter Sunday. And so you could do that by hosting a watch party. You could do that by inviting your friends to a location near you. Or you could do that by maybe finding a watch party that's happening near you in whatever part of the country that you're in. So if you go to crossroads.net/Easter, you can get all of the information of where people are meeting and when. We'd love to see you in a physical location if you live close enough to get there. Well, you know, the church is meant to be a blessing to the communities that we live in, to the communities that we serve in, work in, play in. And so once a year, we have a giant one-day blitz to bless cities and communities all over the country and actually go outside of our comfy, cozy walls that we experience a church service in and go be the church in the neighborhoods that we live, work, play. And so I want you to hear from my friend Daniel and check out what Go Local is going to look like coming up here in May.
Hi, my name is Daniel. Mi nombre es Daniel. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this guy has a cool accent. Where's he from? I'll tell you, I'm from Ohio. Thanks for asking. Hey, I'm here to tell you that for a whole week in May, we are going to be out in our communities serving through what we call Go Local. Go Local is serving our communities for a whole week anywhere you live. You might be asking, what exactly do we do? Let me show you. We're going to be doing construction projects, you know, things like building a wheelchair ramp, remodeling, a little bit of drywall. You might even get to use one of these bad boys. Not much into power tools? I get it. We have plenty of places like this all over the country where it's safe for kids and families to come outdoors, a little gardening, a little mulching, a little trimming up, lots of things to do for everybody. Whee! Hey, we're gonna be doing all sorts of projects. For example, right here, we're gonna be painting all the walls. Maverick, you ready to paint?
Come on, good job.
Hey, are you ready to do this with me? I think you are, and all you need to do is pull out your phone, go to crossroads.net/go local. Sign up, boom, you're ready to go. I know you can do it. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you in May. Vámonos a servir.
Hey, why don't you stand with us? That whole weekend, we're thrilled and pumped to see that weekend come because that whole weekend is a chance for us to respond to the love of God by serving our neighbors and serving our communities. So we're gonna do that together. We're gonna do that now with the melody. We're gonna respond to the love of God together in song. So sing with us wherever you're joining us from. Let's sing together.
Our God, a firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground, as nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken, but we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious.
Save us. You took all our shame. and on the cross it was laid. And now you're taking us higher, 'cause we go from glory to glory to glory. We'll never be the same, we'll never be the same. Here we go from glory to glory to glory. And we're forever changed, we're forever changed. You call me your friend, brought into your endless kingdom. By the blood I was made, taking us higher, 'cause we go from glory to glory to glory. We'll never be the same, we'll never be the same. We go from glory to glory to glory. We're forever changed, we're forever changed. Until we reach that, has won, and heaven has come, and now you're taking us higher. Come on, y'all. And now you're taking us higher.
Is one of the ways that we get to give of ourselves to God. Another way that we give of ourselves to God is financially. And we all give for different reasons and in different ways. Maybe you experienced something great and you wanted to help pay for it, and so you gave a little bit. Maybe you were impacted by something and you thought, I want to give back because I just received something so great. And so you gave as a result of that. For me and my husband, we give out of obedience. We give because in the Bible, God tells us to. And he actually specifically tells us to give our first 10% back to him, because everything is his to begin with, and he just asks for 10% of it back. And so we give our first 10% to the church. And sometimes when we do that, we get to feel and experience and see the fruit of that obedience. Not every time, but a lot of times. And so we actually have a family who is part of our church who just wants to say thank you to the obedient, faithful givers. And as we do this, if you want to be one of the ones who's obedient with your first 10% and give as a way to be obedient and say yes to God, you could do that by going to crossroads.net/give. Let's check out this story.
Before coming to Crossroads, I would say that I was probably agnostic. I probably would have just told you it's more important just to be a good person.
I grew up Catholic and kind of just went through the motions.
In 2014, we were on a vacation. Jody said, would you want to check out Crossroads when we get back? I said, yes, of course. So we did, and I remember our first service at Crossroads, and Chuck is up there spilling his heart out to what seemed to be just a room full of strangers, and we felt something. So we kept coming back week after week. I started doing these promos for Man Camp, and I thought, this sounded pretty cool. I signed up, and I got kind of randomly assigned with these five dudes. We were perfect strangers. Ended up having the most intensely spiritual experience I've ever had. There was one moment at camp where Brian asked if anyone wanted to receive Jesus, and we were all kind of kneeling on the ground, and either something pulled me up or pushed me up, but there I was standing in this group of 1,200 people. Brian led us through a simple prayer. I received Jesus. Then the next day, you know, it's wrapping up, and then Brian asks, who wants to get baptized of those that stood? And immediately I felt a wave of just anxiety and fear. I talked to my group leader. I was like, what do you think? We went back and forth, and I had kind of resolved to not do it. We're headed back to camp, and I just had this moment of feeling like the only thing holding me back here is fear, and it's not real. It's like, listen, Rick, I'm gonna get baptized, so let's do it before I really chicken out. I get baptized, I come out of the water, and it's just like this thunderous roar that you hear of just people applauding. And you make your way out, and people are just hugging you, and it's an overwhelming feeling, and it feels amazing. I was really excited about sharing my camp story with Jody. She came home, she's like, you look different. There's something different about you. She's like, you got baptized. I was like, I did, but let me tell you the story. I told the story and it was awesome. I received Jesus and I got baptized.
My most significant moment here at Crossroads also happened on the land at Woman Camp. The Tuesday before Woman Camp, I was laying in bed, and I spent a lot of time before I go to bed talking to God. And one particular night I was laying there, and all of a sudden I heard that I needed to get baptized at Woman Camp this weekend. It freaked me out. I don't think I'm ready, you know, still kind of nervous to pray out loud. I still don't know verses. So I had sort of this checklist in my mind of when I'd be ready. I went to Woman Camp. It comes time for the feast, and I am sitting next to a really good friend, Cindy, and I was like, so I gotta tell you what happened to me on Tuesday. She was really excited. She's like, this means something, you know. Sunday morning comes, and I'm walking to the water coolers to fill up my water bottle, and I see Cindy, told her I had thought about it, I wasn't gonna do it. You know, she sat there and encouraged me. And I looked around and I saw all of these amazing women, and I was like, I will never have another opportunity to be surrounded by this many women and feel so called to be baptized. That's what happened. I did it. Cindy and I walked to the lake. Then another woman that I shared a tent with, she's like, I'm coming with you. And all these women, they did not have to. They all came in the water with me and were with me when I was baptized. The most amazing parts of being at Crossroads is being around people who just love you and understand you and want to be there for you.
After receiving Jesus at Man Camp, I would say, I feel like I have more of a purpose, and it blows your mind that people are willing to sacrifice so much time and money. It's literally so your life is changed.
So I just wanted to say thank you so much for everyone who's given their money so that we can purchase a place like Base Camp, where both, you know, Adam and I were able to find Jesus and find more purpose in not only ourselves, but in our relationship together.
Thank you for giving. It's changed our lives.
Man, when I saw that video of that couple that's been affected by camps, it just really hits me hard. I've done a lot of camping recently. 2 weeks ago, I was at man camp. Last week, I was at couples camp. Last night, just rolled in here. Last night, I did camping this with my family. I could still smell the bonfire all over me. It's wonderful. And I'll tell you, one of my worst moments ever was at man camp. Who likes to feel weak? Just raise your hand. Who likes to feel weak? Anybody? No, I don't like to be weak at all. So at man camp, there's this tradition, which, by the way, if you want to go the next round of camps in 6 months from now, man, we will help you. We will help you find gear. We'll help you borrow gear. We'll walk you through a whole process. Would love for you to experience what so many of us are experiencing regularly, because there's massive, massive change that takes place. Just a lot of fun. So one of the things that happens at man camp is a voluntary arm wrestling tournament. Every unit can nominate somebody to go and arm wrestle if he wants to. And so it's this kind of, they whittle down, and if you get beaten and you don't go to the next round, that kind of thing. And what happened a couple years ago was it got down to the final seven, and it was kind of a crisis. Like, oh no, we have seven. This doesn't make sense for quarterfinals. We need eight, or else it's not going to make sense that it pairs out. So guy on the stage where all the paraphernalia, arm wrestling paraphernalia was, he gets a microphone. I need Brian Stone to report the stage. That's me, by the way. And so I report, so we're going to have you arm wrestle this guy. Just to make, you'll be our eighth guy. I'm like, okay. So I get in, I look at this guy, and it's like, wham! Like it's like 0.003 seconds. I am down, like bam! This guy was huge, by the way. Just massive biceps like this, 9 feet tall. He's on steroids, or I could have taken him. I know I was, but I mean, I felt so weak, so incredibly weak. Then the next man camp, same thing, it got to be seven again. And they called me on stage, and I'm fine, I'll go up, no big deal, and I'll be the butt of everyone's joke and laugh and all that kind of stuff. So I went up, but this time, I actually had gotten some coaching. Someone told me how to arm wrestle. I didn't know how to before. I didn't know what the right technique was. I didn't know you had to immediately explode. So this guy gave me a real quick tutorial, like, oh. So I get up with this guy, and we're going at it. It felt like 10 minutes straight, but it was probably 2 minutes. And what do you know? I won. I was like, this is awesome. It's great. And then I go to the next round, so I'm now in the final four or whatever. Well, bam, like 0.00004, so like, just like down, bam. Now, that's not why I feel weak. The reason why I felt weak was my tendons got blown out in that match. So like for a year after that, I felt weak all the time, because you would come up to me, some of you would come up to me to shake my hand, and I'd be like, oh, no. And just the grip of my fingers squeezing you sent searing pain up and down my thing. Who likes to be physically weak? Anybody like to be physically weak? Anybody? Who likes to be emotionally weak? Anybody emotionally, spiritually weak? Relationally weak? You know that in and of our own natural selves, we are weak. We are weak. In the book of Romans chapter 5, it says this: while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, that is a really ominous churchy word. This is an ancient archery term, and what it means is missing the mark. You sin when you miss the mark of the bullseye. We all miss the mark. There's things that we should be doing that we're not doing. There's things that we shouldn't be doing that we are doing. There's ways that we're managing our money we shouldn't be managing our money. There's people we're not spending time with we should be spending time with. There's things that we're watching that we shouldn't watch. There's things that we're feeling that we shouldn't feel. All of us are sinners missing the mark, and therefore we are weak. We are weak. We are naturally weak. We are naturally not up to par. We are naturally not as strong as we could and should be. Every time an artist creates something, they want to create something that is strong, something that will stand the test of time. What's the
the creator, Leonardo da Vinci, maybe the greatest painter of all time. What is Leonardo's greatest masterpiece? Some might say it's the Mona Lisa. I saw that a number of years ago over in Paris, like this little thing behind a box. Like, wow, geez, it's crazy, you know? Some people would say it's his Last Supper. I would say that. Michelangelo, what is his greatest creation, his greatest sculpture? Some people would say it's Pieta. Other people would say, no, it was Moses. Who really knows? Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect. What was his best architecting? what was it? Was it Falling Waters in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, not far from where I grew up, where he actually built a house around a creek and the creek goes through the house with Falling Waters? Was it the Guggenheim, this amazing art house, which is, I think, in New York? No, L.A.? New York, thank you. New York, yes, I don't know. I haven't been there, but I've seen the pictures. Pretty, pretty amazing. How about God as a master, as an amazing creator? What is the highlight of his creation? Is it a lion? It's the most ominous creature I've ever seen. Is it a lion? Would it be the planet upon which the lion roams, the planet Earth? Would it be the galaxy and the cosmos in which the planet moves and revolves? Is it? And I say that one. I don't know the one about Da Vinci. I don't know the one about Michelangelo. I don't know the one about Frank Lloyd Wright. But I know this one. I know this one. You know his greatest masterpiece? It's humans. It's you. You and I are created in the image of God. You and I have capacities and we are special. We have abilities like nothing else. You are a masterpiece, and you're a broken masterpiece. I'm a broken masterpiece. We are weak masterpieces. And if Da Vinci was alive and someone was to throw ink on his painting, I promise you he would repair it. If Michelangelo was around and someone took a hammer to one of his sculptures, and people have done that since, but I promise you, if he's around, I promise you, he would try to figure out a way to put it back together. It's good news because this is the way masters are, the way creators are. When you and I have weak elements, when we have brokenness, when we have challenges, when we have sins, there is a God who reaches out and touches us because you are like God in a way that nothing else on the world is. And yet we're in crisis as humans. We're in crisis. Anxiety is skyrocketing. In fact, even the younger you are, the more anxious you are. It used to be the other way around. The younger you are, the more anxious. Anxiety is skyrocketing. The Journal of the American Medical Association came out and found that between 2005 and 2017, the number of people who have gone to the emergency room, the number of children specifically between age 5 and 17 who have gone to the emergency room to check themselves in because of emotional and suicidal issues has doubled. Doubled between 2005 and 2017. What is going on with us? We are weak. We are broken. What is going on with us when we're in the car and we're freaking out that somebody cut us off? Really? It's that big of a deal that somebody cut us off, but we're freaking out. Why? Because we're weak. Why is it that we are freaking out over the state of politics and we think the whole world's coming on? It's because, hey, man, it's always been a level of turmoil in politics. But, man, we're weak. Why is it that we read things online and we just get our lather all worked up and we want to keep getting our lather worked up and we want to just feel this age of rage? It's because we're weak. Weak. And at just the right time, Christ died for the weak. He spread out his arms, and there was this massive wire transfer of all of my missing the mark actions, all of my attitudes, my weakness, my spiritual weakness, All of that got cosmically wire transferred to Jesus' back, and all of his goodness, all of his righteousness got cosmically wirelessly transferred to my account. So when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. He doesn't just see me. This is what the Master has done. This is redemption. The book of Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and following, it says this: our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. That's an ominous sounding phrase. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But he gave himself to redeem us. What does it mean that God wants to redeem us? Well, back in the day, you used to have coupons. I don't know, do they even make coupons anymore? Okay, good. Very few of us use them. Well, what do? You redeem a coupon, you take your coupon to Kroger, and you turn in your coupon, and you get back basically savings, right? You turn it in, you redeem it. Or you have a redemption code, right? You go online, and you press on the code, and you redeem that code. You turn in those numbers that you type in, and they return to you a refund, or you go to a redemption center. If you're collecting aluminum cans, you take these cans, you trade in your aluminum cans, you redeem your aluminum cans, and you get cash back. That's what redemption means. I give you my coupon, I get something back. I give you my code, I get something back. I give you my aluminum cans, I get something back. And this is what it's like for us. We give God our lives, we turn in our lives, it gets redeemed, and he gives us something back. It's like the Mona Lisa that's tattered gets rolled up and given to Da Vinci, and he gives it back in a better condition. This is called the good news. It's amazing. And when this happens, it changes your life. That verse there, it says, when this happens to us, we are zealous for good work. The word zealous is just such an ominous word in our culture, isn't it? I mean, someone's a zealot. You know, just zealous. It's just a strange word. It just means you're really serious about it. You're on it. You're like single focus. You're about it. And this is not zealous for being a judgmental person. This is zealous for good works. See, some people think that in order for God to redeem them, we have to do a bunch of good things for God to redeem me. I've got to like help some old ladies across the street for God to redeem me. You know, I gotta put a bandage on my dog where I've been kicking him in his ribs. Just do that and God will redeem me. I've got to give a homeless person a couple of soup for God to redeem. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We don't clean ourselves up and then go to God hoping for him to give something to us. That's like, I've got to lose some weight at home before I go to the gym. No, you don't, man. Just get to the gym. No, you don't. You go to the gym as you are, and you go to God the way you are. You don't try to clean yourself up. You go to God the way you are, and you allow him to do something with you. And when he does that, when you get redeemed, when you get renewed, what happens is you're like, oh my gosh, why would God do that for me? Why would he do that? And you become zealous to be about his business, about blessing people, about good works, not good works, to convince God to do nice things for you. Good works, because it now becomes in your nature, because that's actually who you are. Good works because you want to thank him. You want to be engaged in the stuff that he's engaged in. That's why we do Go Local around here. It's a big, big, big deal, because I'm zealous for good works. Man, any level of lung power I can have to try to enable us to get engaged with people who are hurting, I want to do that. When I see someone hurting, when you see someone hurting, we get engaged, we go after it. There's people who have anxiety all over our cities, who have suicidal issues, who have addiction issues, who are in recovery, who are homeless, and it goes on. And what we do is we serve the organizations that serve those people by giving them a hand, showing up, painting something for them, mulching something for them, building something for them. And we do this not because we want good PR. We do this because we're just zealous to be about God's mission, because that's what we're created to do. God has created us with the capacity to engage our world and to do great and huge things. Does anybody, while you're at church, want to admit that you watch Game of Thrones? Go ahead. Anybody? Does anybody want to be judged by people around? Yes, yes. I admit it. In the last 5-6 months, I binge-watched all 8 seasons, 7 seasons of Game of Thrones. Now, I know I could get fired telling you this. I do. I know I get fired telling this because there's some very unpastorly moments in there, especially season 1 and 2. It's like, really? Fast forward button is great to get past that stuff. It's really a fascinating show. I could actually do a whole series on why we're attracted to that, really. There's things in that series that are actually principles of God which cause us to long for things in that series. Believe me, this is not a moral series. I'm just saying, if you've seen it, it's kind of intense. One of the characters, one of the lead characters in it, name is Samwell. Samwell, he's weak. He's very, very weak. He gets beat up. He'll stick himself out there, but he gets beat up every time. He's very weak physically. He's weak in his family. His dad doesn't respect him. He's very weak that way. He can be a bit weak emotionally because of all the abuse that he's taken. And what do you know? He, in this series, ends up landing in the perfect place for him in a library, basically, where he ends up making a contribution to the grand struggle that they're enlisted in by finding information that helps them. Amazing, amazing. Now, the interesting thing about this is this is actually his life. I didn't notice this until I just saw this clip when he was on Conan O'Brien, where he stood up and he gave a little pep talk right before the very last scene that was filmed for Game of Thrones, and the last season starts and they're not doing it anymore. So he did this little pep talk to all the actors just before it went on, and I thought it would behoove us to listen to what he said.
It was a purely emotional thing. I didn't really think about saying it before I went out there, and I kind of can't remember it all. But the kind of gist of it was that, yeah, as somebody who grew up overweight and kind of unhappy because of it, mm-hmm. and thinking that you know life was going to pass you by because of it, and all the times where you just kind of go to bed and you wake up, you go to bed and you think, I'd give anything to wake up and not have this weight. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, all the time that you're thinking that, especially when you get into, when I was in kind of 19, 20, to think, while I was feeling that about myself, David and Dan, our producers, and everybody else connected with the show, they were looking for me. Mm-hmm. They were looking for exactly me. And it was not just a case of they're going to accept all what I consider to be faults about myself, but they're going to see them as virtues, and they're going to be my key into this amazing experience and meeting all these amazing people. And if I'd have known that they were looking for me and what kind of effect that was going to have on the rest of my life, then I just wouldn't have been able to believe it. That's a shortened version of the speech. I rambled on and on.
You did not ramble. It was beautiful, and it was just as beautiful as what you just said right now.
God is looking for you. God is looking for you. And it may be the very things that bother you about yourself, may be the very thing that makes you potent. Maybe the very thing that makes you qualified to have a hand in the grand plan of God. I am adopted. I was physically adopted. And I was born at a very young age. And then I was adopted. And, you know, you always wonder, why did someone, when I was born, just go, I'm done. Done. You think about that as an adopted person. Like, what is that? What's going on there? And in the Bible, whenever the word adopted pops up, you kind of go like, oh, it's interesting. It comes up again and again and again. It comes up again and again and again because everybody who's in the family of God has been adopted into the family of God. Every person. God has no grandchildren. He has no grandchildren. You never impress God with your spiritual pedigree from your parents or this. You're not just born into the family of God. And I hear people say, "Oh, I've always been a Christian." It's like, you're definitely not one if that's what you think, because you're adopted. And if you just think that God's pleased to have you around just because you've always been a good guy, I promise you, you don't understand your weakness. I promise you, there's a sense of God's power that you've not experienced yet. The great transfer hasn't happened yet. And when I came to understand that I was adopted into the family of God, just like I was adopted in the Tome family, it was a physical thing, which I thought was made me less than, but that actually mirrored being adopted into the family of God. It set me on fire. I get it. I got it. I didn't need to be healed of that. That wasn't necessarily a weakness of mine. That was something God redeemed. He redeemed and he used it for my strength. That's why I'm so excited to do anything I can to help anybody come to encounter the power of God, because you're a human being who's created in the image of God, and God has plans for you. He has purposes for you. He's not done with you. I don't care what kind of week you've had. I don't care what kind of year you've had. I don't care what kind of life you've had. He's not done with you. You and I are masterpieces. We're going to do baptisms. Baptism is when somebody gets redeemed, they go down under the water, and when they pop up out of the water, they leave down the water their old life. It gets drowned. It's a metaphor for that. And when they come up, they rise up, basically a spiritual resurrection to new power. It's an act of redemption. It shows me I turned in my old life. I turned it in, and now I'm walking with new power. When I got baptized as an infant, that didn't mean anything to me. Nothing. It meant something to my parents. That's cool. I baptized my kids as their little infants. That's fine. It meant something to me. It didn't mean anything to them. But when I chose to be adopted into the family of God, this is something I later came to do. This was a very, very important thing for me, because I wanted to show God. I wanted to be just like all the other people in the entire Bible who were spiritual greats, the entire New Testament, who came into a redeemed relationship. They all got baptized, every single one of them, every single one. And I couldn't just say, well, did my little infant baptism work for me? No, it didn't work for me. No, it didn't work for me, in fact. There was no spiritual power that came to me out of that. But when I got adopted in the family of God, when I got redeemed, when God made me new, I wanted all that came with that. Boy, it was exhilarating, utterly exhilarating. I think there's a lot of things in American church culture we have totally wrong. Like whenever there's baptism, it's normally like nice, calm music. Oh, a little dab of the eye. Oh, it's so nice and precious. Look at that poor soul. Oh, it's good. I love baptisms. It's so good. Aunt Maybell's got her little fan. It's so wonderful. It's just tender. I know it's not tender. There's a drowning taking place. Someone is getting drowned. Someone's sin, someone's life that's weak, weaknesses are getting drowned. Other things that are weak are getting redeemed and putting back into play. It's very spiritually violent. It's beautifully violent. It's not a tender night. It is legit. I was convinced of this, and I there's one pastor who's getting this right. I don't know who he is. I ran across how he's been baptizing people recently, and I want to be more like him. Look how he's been doing this. That's getting into it right there. That's good stuff. Now, we're going to have people getting baptized today. That's what we're going to do. Some of you came in here today having no idea, and now you do, and this is right for you. This is just right for you. Don't think it away. Don't explain it away. Don't think to yourself, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to go home wet. Big deal. You go home wet. You're not going to die. It's water. It's not acid. You'll be just fine. But there's a moment A moment when we get adopted, a moment when we get redeemed, a moment where we say to God, I'm in on you. I want something different. I want the master to have me in his hands. And today, we get to do it. Now, I'm not gonna body slam anybody. It's funner watching than actually doing, but there's an excitement, an exuberance about this. If you came here today knowing that you're ready, you can just, in fact, right now, even if you didn't, right here, whatever state you are, right here, everyone's sitting, who's standing with me right now? Who's not done this before? You're going to do it today. I want you to stand right here before us. Come on now. Come on. I know there is. Right there, dude. Come on. There we go. All right. Awesome. I want you to go to the back. Right there where you are, get the back. Go ahead. Go to the back right now. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to give you another shot, too. But pray for us, and then we're going to get started and keep going. So God, I thank you for the good things that you have done in our lives and you're doing in our lives. I thank you for we are in a new day. And I ask that you'd have your hand on the back of all these people's necks. You have your hand in the back of their neck, that they would sense your presence and they would be prepared to go into a new thing and in a new way. Amen. Let's take a look at some stories of people who are going to be experiencing this today. And just so you know, I'm going to give you another offer to get up and get to the back of the room. But let's hear these folks' hearts.
I grew up in a home where we did not talk about faith. And so growing up, I kind of made my God, so to speak, pleasing people. And I found that didn't work for me. I remember sitting on my couch in my living room thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know who I am. Without Jesus, I was like this lost person because I had put every single person I was with, I was thinking, how can I alter my personality so you will like me?
So when I was younger, my grandfather was a pastor, and then my grandfather ended up dying suddenly of a heart attack. And I just kind of like didn't trust God from there because I was like, why would you take this amazing man?
Most of my life as an adult, I would probably consider myself agnostic. You know, science, I believe in science. But as you look around and you see like all the beauty in the world, I have a hard time believing that this chaos is just coincidence, all the beauty around. And I kind of felt like there has to be something, some guiding force to this.
So when I went to the Super Bowl service, I just kind of saw like Brian and Chuck just preaching passionately about this thing that I didn't know if I believed in or not. I've had a lot of health issues during like the last year. I have breast cancer twice and now I don't have it anymore, which is great. And I kind of figured like it had to have been Jesus.
And I read about, you know, Jesus and the followers of Jesus. And to me, it made perfect sense. I was drawn to the idea that you help people that need help, the sense of community. And that was the part that most attracted me to Christ. It's like, hey, this is the kind of person I want to be.
And I just found so much peace in the fact that God made me exactly the way I was supposed to be. And I didn't have to change myself to be loved. I could just be loved the way I was. That's when I like accepted Jesus into my heart. Looking back, I don't think I had put two and two together that he was like, that God was literally like seeking after me.
I think I want to get baptized because I know what it means now. And I want to just start over. When you go under the water, that would be like leaving all the pain and all the negative things, leaving that in the water and coming out as a new person. And I can do this with Jesus and I don't have to be alone.
I know it's a public declaration of, hey, I am a follower of Christ. It's a way to kind of begin anew. I hope that when I come out of the water, I've left behind some of the bitterness I feel. Maybe I leave behind the selfishness.
I feel like I'm a completely different person, and I think that's the beauty of baptism, that he literally makes us new. Like the old is gone, the new is here, and he literally uses everything. He uses all the mistakes, he uses all the circumstances. He uses everything that we cannot control, and he makes it for good because he is good. When I
am dying to myself and I go under the water, I'm letting all of that, I'm letting that go, I'm leaving that in the past, and I'm moving to what God has for me and walking in what He wants.
Maybe God has been saying to you right now that baptism is the next step that you need to make. And if that's the case, we would love to help you get baptized. We'd love to baptize you. So if you go to crossroads.net, first check if there are any locations near you. If there are, go to one of those locations right now. Go and get baptized. If there's not a location near you, chat with us on the website and we'll connect with you and make sure that we get you baptized, whatever that might mean and whatever way that has to happen. Now, right now, we're actually gonna watch people who are making the step to get baptized in one of our sites. And as we do this, this is a huge celebration. This is worth celebrating because these people are declaring that they want new life and they want something better and exciting and they want to follow Jesus with everything in them. And so as you watch this, I hope that God stirs something in you and you feel the joy of baptism that each of these people is feeling as they come up out of that water.
Seem worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Yes, He is. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name.
Your little guys here? All right, well, so this is a family affair that happened today. Tell us any backstory or why this is important for you.
So the past 2 or 3 years has been really rough for us, and we switched schools. They go to a school that now has a church attached to it. And over the past couple months, he, the youngest one, has been saying, let's get baptized. And so with me teaching them what it means, I realized that I had never did it before. So I needed to follow them.
That's a strong mother right there. That's a strong mother. God, thank you for this family. Just continue to pour your spirit and your presence on these young, amazing men and on this amazingly godly woman. Amen. Yeah, as we do this one last time, I'll say it one last time. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Come on. Come on. For too much of your life, you've been passive. For too long, you've been passive. For too long, you've been sitting back and waiting for somebody else. For too long, you've allowed the doubts to tell you that, oh no, I have to have it all figured out. Stop being passive. Take advantage of this opportunity. You got 2 more minutes. Come on, right now. We're waiting for you. We'll wait for you. Let's go.
And I will.
Lord, we celebrate the lives that have come into your family today, the lives that have been and are being redeemed. Help us to walk out of here with a fresh sense of your refreshment. Help us to recognize that what we feel is not a lie, it's for real because you're for real. God, we're ready to zealously be about what you want us to be about. I pray these things according to the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, have yourself a great night, great weekend. Next week is Easter. You are not going to miss it, and you are going to want your friends to experience it. See you next weekend.
Thanks for joining us. I hope that right now you're feeling the joy of baptism. And if baptism is a step that you want to take, chat with us on the Crossroads website, and we'll make sure that you get the chance to do that. Whether that means you're getting baptized in a hot tub or a bathtub or a lake or a pool, we've baptized in all of those places, and we'd love to get you set up to do that. Now, we're going to keep the celebration going next weekend with it being Easter weekend. And remember, it's a great time for you to invite your friends to experience Crossroads. And it's a great time for you to maybe take the step of getting into community with other people. Show up to a physical location or to a watch party that's happening near you. And we hope that you have a great week. We'll see you back Easter weekend every 90 minutes beginning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great week.